crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We are helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? 'Cause you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have woken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, and you're frightened with nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have woken the Master. And he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have woken the Master. And you're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. 'Cause you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have woken the Master. And he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have woken the Master. Child, your cries have woken the Master.
Appreciate it. Let's all stand. Man, we'll get ready to change over service. Ready to hear the words this evening? Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yes, sir.
I want to. to see you. And lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Lord Jesus, happy to be in the house of God this afternoon.
Amen.
Amen. It's always a blessing to be with God's people. Amen. Whenever we have the opportunity to do so, amen, it's always an honor, amen, to be around God's purchase, amen, of His blood, amen, the bride of Christ. So we're just thankful for that. Thank you all for continuing to pray for Brother Roel and the family there in the Philippines. We keep hearing gradual better news every day. And so today we heard wonderful news that, he doesn't have blood clots in his lungs, which is good. And, just a little bit of, bacterial pneumonia. So they're trying to use antibiotics to clear that up. So, but he's getting there. I believe soon he'll get off that ventilator. That ventilator is not down his throat, not down his mouth anymore. They got it in right straight hooked into his throat now. Forgot the reason why that needed to be done, but, so anyways, thank you all for those prayers. You just continue to remember all the other ones that are struggling and, many sick people. We know it's nothing but devil. Nothing but Satan attacking his people. But at the same time, I believe God is allowing us to be able to use this time to look at ourselves and to look at our own walks with God. Amen. And to, as I will be talking here in just a moment, you know, to about looking at our lives in order to advance this kingdom even further, you see? Because I believe the kingdom is still, amen, is still advancing. It's still growing. It's still... The kingdom hasn't stopped because of COVID. The kingdom is still advancing. There's people still coming in. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And so, I believe that with all my heart. And so these are just signs of the end time and, just a closer time for for the coming of the Lord. So we just thank you all for those prayers. I believe that I don't have anything that I need to announce. So, so we're just going to go ahead and go to the Word. And we'll do our best to not, I'm trying not to keep you all long tonight. So we're going to go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now I want to talk this, I want to start maybe, this might end up being like a little series. Because I don't think I'll be able to get done tonight. But maybe we'll finish it out in a few different services. But this really impressed me the other day. Well, actually yesterday, as I was looking into this about what the law of Christ is. And so we're living at the time, saints, where we need to fulfill the law of Christ. We need to fulfill the law of Christ. And where the world is trying to divide us, amen, God is calling for a unity. You see, the world is trying to divide their own, and they're also trying to divide the people of God as well. And we know it's nothing but Satan Yet God, even at the end time, even towards the end of his ministry where there was even division, amen, God was trying to bring unity among his people. He even prayed for his children and for even those that those his disciples was going to reach. Amen. And what did he call for? Unity. Amen. And Satan knows that if we're not unified, and if there's no love amongst one another, and if we allow the elements, and if we allow the governments, and if we allow the media to divide us, then he knows he has us conquered. No matter with what it is, what political thing that they throw at us, if it causes division, you know it's not of God. It's gotta be from Satan. So we wanna look at something here. And hopefully, I hope you receive as much of a blessing from it as I've been receiving. Because I've been certainly enjoying looking at this. So, let's look here at John chapter 15 verse 8. The Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." And then he says here, "Continue ye in my love." Now watch, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Verse 12, "This is my commandment," watch, "this is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." And we'll talk, if the Lord gives us some time, we'll talk about that some more in more detail. About something that he did, amen, that proved that, that showed that. "Greater love," verse 13, "greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Amen. "Ye are my friends." I hope you can say that to me. "You are my friends." Amen. "If ye do whatsoever I command you," Jesus says, "you are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Verse 17. Now we'll skip down to verse 17. Watch. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." So it wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't just a thought. It was a commandment. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Amen. Now let's look at at Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. And we appreciate the brothers, because I'm going to do some reading tonight, and I told them, I prepared them beforehand, that we'll be doing some reading. And I hope you pay attention. I hope that this is something that will bless you. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Amen. So let's just bow our heads tonight. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we come before you once more, thanking you for the opportunity that we have to just look back, Father, in your word, Lord. This eternal word, Father, this word that was, Father God, spoken, Lord God, and you being the word, Lord God, eternal, Father, always has been, Lord God. There's never you had no beginning, and Father, you will have no end. And now, Father God, this word, Lord God, abides in your people, Lord Jesus. And Father God, you want to not necessarily, Lord God, for us to just be wanderers here in this earth, Lord God Almighty, but Lord God, you want to do a work through us, Lord God Almighty, in this hour, Lord Jesus. And Father God, the world will know, Father God, that we are yours because of the way we treat each other and the way we love one another, Lord. So we ask that you'd help us, Father God, this evening. Strengthen us. Bless each and every one, Father, that is sick, Lord, and Father, every person, Lord God, that may be having any issues, whether it be health problems or financial problems, whatever the issues may be, bless them, Lord. Be with them, Father. Meet these needs, Father. They were mentioned, Father, and we commit them into your hands now. We ask you these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I bring greetings to all the people viewing us online. Amen. I get messages from people, you know, all the time telling us how they enjoy, you know, the services and how they enjoyed the ministry here. And so We just thank God, amen, because there's people, you know, watching from beyond the four walls, amen, and they enjoy the word that comes through, amen. Praise God, amen. So, I want to talk this evening, advancing God's kingdom by fulfilling the law of Christ, amen. And I know that each and every one of us has probably heard the phrase, a new world order. Amen. Well, the world, they have that phrase. They use that phrase, politicians and big, people of this earth who call this earth their home. And this current situation that they're in, you know, call it their home. But see, God has his own new world order. Amen. And he established that when he was here on earth. Amen. And, it's been advancing ever since. Amen. Praise God. It's an order that Satan can't put his finger on. Amen. It's an eternal order. Amen. Their order is something that they think that they're obtaining eternal life by however way they look to machines. They're trying to find the source of eternal life when we already have eternal life. And there's nothing that we had to do. We had to create no AI. Anything, inject ourselves with anything or anything like that. Amen. All we have to do is believe upon what God said in his word. Amen. And we have his eternal life in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to start off this evening with what Matthew chapter 24 verse 9 through 14 says. And I want to look at this here about the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. When we were listening to brother Claude the other day, and it struck me that he mentioned something there when he was talking about this part with regards to that the people towards the end time, amen, there will be a people that will suffer for his name's sake. And now who suffers for his name's sake? Well, it's either the Jews who've accepted Christ or it's us. As the Gentiles, because we're the ones who take his name, amen. Or Jews, amen. There's Messianic Jews out there who believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, amen. And so there will be a persecution even for them as well. But in looking at this at this here, we see the different conditions and what's happening here, and we're seeing it clearly even now in the end time that we're living in. So if we start there in verse 9, it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. And we're living in that time, aren't we? Everybody gets offended for everything now. You just—it's snowflakes everywhere you go. You can't say one thing anymore, and you can't joke around anything because you have to be politically correct about everything nowadays. So the Bible was talking about it. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. And we're seeing that. And if we're not careful, amen, we'll fall in line to maybe even possibly led in that direction too. Because who was the one that betrayed Jesus? It was one of his own. It was one that followed him. That's who betrayed Jesus. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Those are strong words, and this is Jesus speaking. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many people, amen. You can turn on YouTube and you can listen to anybody you want to and be deceived. Amen. In verse 12, and because iniquity, now watch this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, it doesn't say that the love shall completely go away, but that the love of many, not all, but many, shall dwindle, shall get cold. And when you look at that word love, there is the word agape. Amen. Which means brotherly love, God's love. Amen. Because iniquity shall abound. Now, how many believes that we're living in an age right now where iniquity is abounding? I mean, if you... You don't even have to watch CNN or the news or anything to know that something is wrong with this country. Something is going on. Something is wrong with this world. Iniquity is abounding. You don't even know what to believe nowadays. Something is happening. There's a shift taking place. And we're in the middle of it. Amen. It's iniquity. Because men are just, these men are just going for broke. Doing whatever they need to do, amen, to bring out what they call their new world order. And so, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, it will wax cold if we keep looking at that. If we keep looking at those things and we keep looking at the heartache, the carnage, the destruction, everything that's going on, our love will eventually wax cold. But if we stop looking at that stuff and just keep our eyes on the Word, keep our eyes up, amen, where our redemption draws nigh, amen, then we should get warmer in that love, amen. We should get hotter in that love. And not just for coming to church and doing what you need to do, but also for a love for one another. Because it's connected. Amen. How can you say you love God and you don't love your brother that you see? And you say you love God that you don't see. It's what the Bible says. Right? And sometimes, you know, we come to church and we do what we're supposed to do and we sing and everything like that. But we don't have patience with one another. We fail in such little simple areas. Amen. Patience with one another, the way we deal with one another, the way we handle each other. Amen. I think it's time for us to look at ourselves and see. Amen. Letting doubt, letting go, amen. These little weights, amen, that are hindering us from keep moving forward. That's making our love wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That wasn't possible back during the time of the disciples. When Jesus was here on earth. It's possible now. Especially with the advent of the internet. It's possible now. Saturday? Saturday night, I was preaching from my house. I was preaching to the Philippines. I saw maybe 75 people listening on there to Brother Royal's church. Just trying to pitch in, helping them out. You know that Brother Royal is out. It dawned on me, man, that's amazing to think that I'm preaching from, Winder, Georgia in the Manila, Philippines. All across the ocean. And I'm not there. They're just seeing me. And people are saying amen and things like that. That's quite incredible. And so this scripture, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. You see, it shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. So that has to be fulfilled. Now, I want us to look closely at verse 12 again, and I want us to look, it says, and because iniquity shall abound. Now, what is iniquity? Let's look here just a moment what iniquity is. And we have heard the definition from Brother Branham, and we're going to read that here in just a moment, but let's look at iniquity here, at what the dictionary says it is. It's gross immorality. Or injustice, wickedness, a grossly immoral act, a sin, lack of equity, gross injustice, unrighteousness, wickedness. Amen. And look what it says here, the condition of one without law or lawlessness. Amen. If you don't think that we're living in that time now. People don't care what anybody says. They don't care what a church says. They don't care what a pastor says. They don't even care what their parents say. They don't care what their parents say. Most surely they don't care what the government says. They don't care what any authority says. I'm going to do what I want to do. You saw it last year last summer, amen, with all the riots taking place and everybody. They didn't respect authority. Burning buildings and all kinds of stuff. In the name of I don't know what cause. You see, if you and me were out there doing that, we'd be jailed right away. Those people, they get out quickly. The condition of one without law, lawlessness, amen. And we know, speaking about that law, amen, the law of Christ, amen, abiding in the law of Christ. Praise God. And so here's what the prophet's definition of what iniquity is, amen. There's four attributes that I looked at, and reading some of what the prophet was talking about iniquity, there's four things that I noticed or attributes of iniquity. Amen? And Brother Branham, one of them is hypocrisy. And Brother Branham says here, what is iniquity? In the spoken word is the original seed. He says, something that you know that's wrong, and you do it anyhow. And you know that God's word is right, why do you play the hypocrite? Because of your organization, and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it, you worker of iniquity. So that's one aspect of iniquity. Another aspect is blatant disobedience. And Brother Brown says here, iniquity is something that you know that you ought to do and you won't do it. You know better, but won't do it. It's iniquity, see? You know they should stay with the Word of God, but for the church's sake or somebody else's sake or something else, you'll stray from the Word of God and do what the organization says. Well, I don't know. My church says we should do it this way and I believe it this way. See, and it's right before you that you shouldn't do it. It's just blatant disobedience. It's I'm just going to do it anyhow. Amen. Another attribute of iniquity is pride and self-centeredness. Amen. And Brother Bram says here in the message, influence. Iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is something that you know it's wrong and still holding to it. When you know your creeds are wrong and you still hold to it, that's iniquity. Amen. You know it is wrong, but because you don't want to admit that you're wrong, amen, you become prideful and you become self-centered. Now, I'm looking at these because I want us, in what we're going to look at in John chapter 13, at a character there, just a moment. It all applies to him. Exactly. Amen. And then it begins, this iniquity. The fourth thing is it begins in the heart before it manifests outwardly. And it says, what is iniquity, Brother Brown says, in the harvest time? It's something that you know that's right, and you concede it and won't do it in your heart. When you know that the Bible teaches a certain thing and you won't do it, that's iniquity. And David said, if I hide iniquity in my heart, God will not even hear my prayer. Amen. But see, we live in a day nowadays that because I don't get struck by lightning, nothing happens to me, I just keep doing what I'm doing. I keep sinning, I keep with my filthy mouth, I keep lying, I keep cheating, I keep doing anything, and nothing's happening, so that just, you know, I'll just keep doing it. That's iniquity. Because at one point, you knew that it was wrong, you just keep doing it until your mind is just completely seared, and it just becomes like nothing's wrong anymore. I believe this is how the condition of this world. And if we're not careful, it spills over into our church, into the church. It's a spirit, saints. It's a spirit, young people. Amen. Because the natural, amen, types of spiritual, amen. A lot of times, amen, what's happening in the world, if we're not careful, it will affect us, amen. And we drag those spirits right in here, amen. And we affect one another. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I want you to keep those items in mind for future reference. I don't know if we'll have time tonight, but we'll get that. I'm just going to take my time. We'll take my time. You know, like I said, this might be several parts. So, and like I said, I just hope you see it the way the way you see it. You know, sometimes we as ministers, we get so excited about something. Oh my gosh, you know, and this is wonderful. This is amazing. I feel like jumping and shouting and running around in my study and then you're like, oh man, but if they can just see it the way I see it. Brother Dale, you've been there. and so I hopefully you just ask God for revelation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the love of many shall wax cold. Now, again, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, in looking at this verse, let's just look at some observations there. One, iniquity will be abundant, so there's plenty of iniquity. Right? That's what the word abound means. It means it's abundant. We just have plenty of it. Two, the love will dwindle, but not completely go away. Amen. You see, When Brother Branham drew, when the angel of the Lord drew that light there when on the church ages, it was originally drawn as dark, complete gross darkness in this day. But God allowed, amen, for the prophet to be able to add that little bit of light. Amen. That's you and me. Amen. You and I, amen, in this dark and wicked hour. You thought during Martin Luther's age was dark and it was evil and it was gross and it was, this age is worse. Because there's attacks. At least you saw the attack coming at you. Amen. You see the attack, amen, as a, in the form of a lion. And what did the Christians do? Amen. They would just huddle next to each other. And Lord, receive our spirit. Amen. We've believed upon you. We've done everything we could. Amen. And they just gave right in. Amen. I believe God allowed for them to not even feel any pain. I believe that. They stood for Christ. God will stand for them. Amen. No, back then you saw the attack coming at you. Now you just don't know where the attack is coming from. It's so gray. It's so shadowy. It's so mysterious now. We know it's there, but Satan is just working in every way now. Internet, just all kinds of spirits everywhere now. It's just so, if you're not careful, you can be deceived. Another third observation there in that verse, the love of many, not all, will dwindle. Amen. I trust that that's us. Amen. The love of many shall wax cold, but not all. And the love described here, as I said earlier, is the agape love. Now, agape, the word agape is a feminine. I thought that was interesting. It's a noun, a feminine noun. Love that is affection or benevolence, specifically a love feast, charity, dear love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love, love feasts. And the most important is the love that God loves us with. Amen. God loves us in the agape love. It's an unconditional love. Amen. Because maybe Brother Don may see things different, a different worldview or political worldview maybe than I do. Amen. It doesn't matter. I still love my brother. And he loves me. Because what does unite us? Amen. Politics? No, the word should unite us. Amen. What should unite? Amen. And if you're allowing politics and worldviews, amen, to divide you, amen, then you don't have the love of Christ dwelling in you. You don't see that brother, you don't see that sister, amen, as part of the body that you dwell in. That's iniquity. And the love of many shall wax cold, the Bible says. See, Satan nowadays, what he's trying to do is, again, like I said earlier, he's trying to divide each and every one of us. I know people, I've heard reports of even churches being divided. With their current events and the current things, amen. Being divided about the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated. I mean, if Satan can do that nowadays, man, we got it. We need the Holy Ghost. And we don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. How in the world can something like that divide us? But it's happening. It's happening in South America amongst message churches. And if we're not careful, we'll allow those things to come and creep in here. And you know, is that the spirit of God? No, that's the spirit of Satan. Because what Satan tries to do is he tries to divide, then conquer. That's exactly what he does. Now, Brother Branham, here's a few things that Brother Branham is speaking of love waxing cold. Brother Branham says here, it used to be a long time ago when the neighbor got sick or something, we went over and cut his corn, cut him some wood, if it was winter time, and today the neighbor can die and you don't know it till you read it in the paper. Well, the first time I heard that, I just laughed. Back when I first came into the message, but it's true. There is neighborhoods with houses right next to each other and they don't know one another. That's sad. I mean, in Toronto, Canada, I mean, the houses are just so close to one another, you know, and different, and they don't know each other hardly. No friendship among one another anymore. That's awful, Brother Branham says. Love, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, said Jesus in Matthew's, the 24th chapter. That's true. He also says, a long time ago when we used to run out of money, we'd go over to the neighbor and borrow $50 to hold us over. Why, we didn't have to sign any notes. We trusted one another. You think you could go do that today? You can't trust anybody anymore. You can't borrow $5 now without a $10 security on top of it. That was a lot of money back then. That was 1951 when Brother Brown said this. That's right. No love. The Bible said, because the love shall wax cold. The love, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And he says here, he continues to say, that's what's the matter with the world. They're dying for love. They want to see love. We got plenty of teaching, plenty churches, but we need a love of God. Amen. I've said before, the world wants to see something genuine. And they don't see it. Therefore, everything, they just believe in their mind, they'll never get to see it. But it's up to you and I, saints. Because even when Jesus prayed for us there in John 17, he says, he asked for unity so that the world can see. We're the only true people that can show the world what love is all about. But if we hate one another and bicker amongst each other and fight amongst each other and all these things, then what are we going to show to the world? We're just like them. Amen. Praise God. Brother Branham says, now I see her, just happy and rejoicing. And she heard about Elizabeth. This is speaking about Elizabeth when she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And she wanted to share the blessing. That's usually the way Christians do. Right? Up into Judea, she went to share the blessing with Mary or with Elizabeth. And I see her getting up there in Judea, you know, to share the blessing. I can see Elizabeth sitting, maybe doing her knitting. And when she seen Mary coming, she threw aside the crocheting or knitting, ever what it was, and run out there and grabbed her in her arms and began to hug her and kiss her. Well, they had feelings. So she, many times, you know, the other day, I was telling somebody, hey, you know, how are you doing? How's school coming along? You know, how's, cause I knew that he works for the same school district that I work for. And it's like you bother them asking them, stopping them from what they're doing to ask them a question. They just don't want to be bothered. People don't want to be bothered. Hey, you just want to be nice. I had some neighbors that just moved out from our house and I was just trying to be nice. And, you know, maybe hopefully get to share the gospel with them, you know. And we were trying to set a day where we could go to their house, you know, or they come to ours and we have, you know, pizza. They had little kids and, you know, just fellowship with them, you know. I don't mind fellowshipping with anybody if I have the opportunity to share the word with them. You see, you know, I'll drink coffee with you, eat a piece of cake, you know, I don't care, you know, you may say a few bad words around me, but hey, I'm not gonna, I know where I'm standing. Amen. Let my life try to influence you. I'm not afraid to hang out with you if I can win you for Christ. But some of us are not like that. If we're not around the believers, I don't want to be around the world. I'm scared. Man, we're not like that. We're supposed to be a light to the world. Amen. What's the world gonna see? They see their own. They know their own. They already got their own. Amen. They want to see something different. You're the ones who can show them something different. So we set, you know, a time for them, you know, and the day came and, they texted me, oh, you know, my wife doesn't think that we can get together. We'll just let you know when we get together, you know, when we can get together again. They never texted back. And they're right next door to us. My wife's like, you just feel bad. You got your feelings hurt. Well, I just want to be nice. But people don't want to be that way. People don't have feelings anymore. Amen. You know what's the matter with the people today, Brother Branham? He said, we're getting away from that. You don't feel for one another. Amen. I want to ask you something, and I'm being serious in asking you all. What is the spirit that would cause us to be afraid to come to church and shake one another's hand and not even look at each other like we're a walking virus? What is the spirit that would cause us to view each other that way? Is it the spirit of God? To be afraid to look at, doing this number with everybody because you can't shake people's hands? Well, what spirit would cause you to do that? Just think about it. Because what the Lord wants is unity. I understand, if you want to be careful, and I respect that, I understand that's fine. But I still want to hug you. I still want to shake your hand. And what I'm saying is these little kids, that's all they've learned for the past year and a half. That's all they've taken with them. I believe eventually it'll damage them mentally. Seeing people doing all this little fist bumping and all this kind of stuff. I want a good old shaking of the hand. Get back to that. That's normal to me. And all this social distancing and all this stuff. That's not normal. That's satanic. Amen. Everywhere we go, amen, you're looking at everybody like they're a biohazard. That's what the world and the people that think they're going to live here eternally without God's eternal life in them want you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. God doesn't want you to do that. That's not the spirit of Christ. Then you know what that is? That's fear. And you know what fear is? It's a lack of love. That's what the Bible says. Because look, that's what 1 John says. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Does the Bible say that? There is no fear in love. I don't know if they got it or not. But perfect love casteth out fear. You should be so trusting in God so much, amen, that God will protect me. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. That is what Satan is trying to bring upon the people nowadays, is fear, 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 fear. And if we're not careful, amen, it starts making us lose and wax cold in our love. You see how those two are connected? At what point, saints, are we going to quit with the fear? It's got to be. We're not going in a rapture with all this, all this stuff and stuff. I thought we were going to be hugging one another and stuff like that. Fist bumping and all this stuff. And 1 John 4:1 says, "Their beloved, believe not every spirit." We should rightly discern every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. I told people last year when all this COVID hit, and some of you all may remember, that when all this COVID stuff hit, and we started with all this mask wearing and all this stuff, that this was going to affect people mentally. We see the results of that now. Mental health has increased, the damages have increased. Anna, you probably know. You can talk to doctors. I've heard testimonies of doctors of little kids. They have been so, their minds have been so twisted now that they go and see a doctor and the doctor says, it's safe. You can take your mask off. It's okay, honey. The mom takes the mask off, but the kid keeps the mask on. And the little doctor says, why don't you want to take your mask? He says, I'm afraid I might kill mommy. What kind of spirit would tell a kid that? That's not the spirit of God. And so we have to be discerning of every spirit, the Bible says. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I know if you continue reading, it talks about false prophets have come into the land. But it says try every spirit. Amen. Now, Brother Brown continues saying, why it used to be when I was a kid, if the neighbor got sick, while we went over there and cut wood for them and helped them fill the silo, cut their corn, and mama would go down and wash up the kids and get their breakfast for them when somebody was sick. But now you don't even know your neighbor's dead, unless you're dead, you read it in the paper. There's no feeling. The Bible said, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There it is. Why, when my daddy would need $50, he'd go over and borrow it, and from the farmer friend, he'd pay him back when he sold the crop. Why, you couldn't borrow $5 now without a $50 security. That's right. No feeling, no trust. God have mercy on a people falling away. And he continues saying, affection, love for one another. That's right. They go around here not long ago. You go downtown, you see somebody, and instead of saying, howdy do, or something like that, they just pass a little silly grin. Look over there like a possum that's been in a blackberry patch somewhere. Looking over like that. You know, just a little old silly grin. Hello, maybe like that. Oh, you know what I like? I like an old-fashioned pump handle handshake. Amen. What happened to that? I haven't seen a good whole handshake in a year and a half. But hey, look, if you don't want to, honestly, if you don't, I'll respect that. But just telling you, that's how I feel. Amen. Because I'm not going to fear this thing. I'm not going to fear the devil. I'm not going to fear just, amen, to make somebody else happy. Amen. John 15:10 tells us, again, going back to what we were reading at the beginning, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen. Now, let's look at the commandments here just a moment. We know that in the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to Moses. Amen. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, it says, and God spake all these words saying, and you can read on down. And then in verse 6, it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. So God was concerned about love. And you can read the whole commandments there as well as in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 6 through 10. But now Jesus comes in Mark chapter 12 and he talks about the greatest commandment because it's asked of him, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And let's read this here real quick in Mark chapter 12. I told you we were going to do a lot of reading, so just bear with me. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he continues and says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, there is none other commandment greater than these. He didn't go mentioning, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not. Amen. Because if you have love in your heart, you won't do those things. He put those at the beginning because he knows if you have love, amen, the love of God. If you love God the way you need to love God, amen, and you love your neighbor the way, you won't steal, you won't commit adultery, you won't cheat, you won't lie, you won't do these things. Amen. In verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. I want you to notice this, because look what he says. He says, And he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Amen. Jesus tied this love, amen, to the kingdom of God. This is part of the kingdom. Amen. The love of God is part of the kingdom. Amen. Now, let's look here just a moment at, and we got a few more minutes. I promise you, I won't leave you here too long tonight. Let's look at some things here in John chapter 13. Amen. And I want you to look at, there's some interesting points here in John chapter 13. We know that 13 represents a woman. 13 apostles, but had to be 12. Amen. So when Judas died, and then Matthias, I think he was selected after Judas died there. So it became 12. Amen. Judas, in this chapter, we see Judas, he shows his true colors. And we know that the U.S. shows her true colors. Give herself completely over to the beast in Revelations chapter 13. Complete apostasy. Amen. So this is all turning saints. This is all eventually will turn to religious. One man worship. At some point in time. At some point in time. I don't know what all the details will be, but at some point in time, the Antichrist is going to be make a pact with the Jews, and we shouldn't be here by that time. Amen. And everybody will wonder after the beast, the Bible says, those that are not sealed upon their forehead. So I want us to read John chapter 13, but we're gonna read it, and I just want us to look at it verse by verse, but I want us to read it here so that everybody can understand it. I tried to compare both from the King James Version and the contemporary English version, and everything seems to be following, it's lined up, so I want to read in the CEV version, the contemporary English version. And let's look at this here. So in verse 1, it says, It was before Passover, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. He had always loved his followers in this world, and he loved them to the very end. Even before the evening meal started, the devil had made Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, decide to betray Jesus. Amen. In the King James Version, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So now here we go. We were talking about iniquity a while ago. And here comes, amen, iniquity coming into the heart of Judas. Right? So, you know, Satan comes in sly. He doesn't come in, amen, he doesn't come in just like that. Cause it'll be just too obvious. He comes in very slyly. He starts working with the heart because it's the deeds of the Nicolaitans, right? And it starts with the deeds, or it starts with the saying. There was a saying. Then it goes into the deeds. Eventually it gets into the people's minds. And so, that's where that iniquity started. Amen. So that true iniquity begins in the heart before it manifests outwardly. Amen. What about all the people leaving the message today? At some point in time, they had something that was speaking to their heart. Some seed of doubt crept in, and eventually it manifested externally, outwardly. Now, saints, we're not supposed to be the judges of anybody. I heard even of a testimony here lately of someone that had supposedly left the message, and then now they're back somewhere up north, and they're serving the Lord. They're sorry that they did that. They repent. So we really can't rule somebody out when they say, "I don't believe Brother Branham anymore." We have to be careful with that, because you're not the judge. But now, you know, when you start pushing and peddling, amen, to everybody, when you're supposed to be doing your own thing, going to church, if you're so right, and you're so, just go to church, serve the Lord, and let others serve the Lord too. But they get on there on their marketing and they got books and they got videos and they're just busy 24/7 and that's all they do. I don't even know if they spend time with their family. I don't even know if they get to eat or go to the bathroom or anything. Cause I mean, they have a new publication every day, just about. Now there's something wrong then. Something's happened to you. You've become a Judas. Now verse 3, Jesus knew he had come from God and would go back to God. He also knew, I want you to pay attention to this, he knew. At this point, he knew that he had come from God and would go back to God. He also knew that the Father had given him complete power. So watch. So during the meal, Jesus got up, verse 4, removed his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. I want you to pay attention because a lot happened here in this chapter. And it's similar to what's happening in our day and time. He put water into a large bowl. Then he began washing his disciples' feet and drying them with the towel he was wearing. Man, what a great act of humility. The master, the king of kings, the creator of the universe, the one who created the disciples, the created Judas, created their souls. He got down to wash the disciples' dirty feet and told us that that should be an example for each one of us. He really loved them. Now, that within itself, it's not just for us when we do foot washing, but it was a lesson that Jesus was trying to teach us. That if we do love one another the way you say you love God and the way you say you love your brother, amen, would you really give up your life for your friends? Would you really give up your life for your brother? Would you really give up your life for your sister? If you've really received a revelation in your heart that that's your brother and that's your sister, you would humble yourself. And you would not do anything, amen, to hurt, amen, that their trust, their you know, of who they are, because you know they're part of the same body you belong to. Hey, if we start looking at each other that way, my goodness, it would go so far in this walk with Christ. Amen. See, he knew he had this power. All power was given to him. And yet he still humbled himself to wash their feet. I just want us to think about that. Because the scriptures here don't put that there just to have that there. That he knew that he had power and that everything belonged to him. And then he goes and washes feet. One of the lowest things that you could do at that time. You know, to be a foot wash flunky. To wash the dirty manure and the sweat coming off the streets and everything like that. Amen. You can just imagine the smell and everything. Jesus just, nobody told him that he just did it. Amen. Now, the word humility, let's look at the word humility real quick. It says, it means the quality or condition of being humble, the state or character of being humble, freedom from pride and arrogance, lowliness of mind, a low estimate of oneself, self-abasement. When you look at yourself, amen, in a low state, amen, that you're not bigger than somebody else, you're not better than somebody else, amen, then your humility's working in you. But when you think you're better and bigger than somebody else, God's got to do some work in your life. And then the other thing is an act of submission. That's what humility is. You submit. Jesus submitted himself to the disciples when he was their master. He was their Lord. He was their rabbi. He was their God. He didn't ask for their permission. He just went and did it. And he did it with all his heart because he really loved them. I want us to remember that. Love, 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 that's all part of the kingdom. That's what we're talking about. That's the law of Christ. Amen. Now continuing in verse 6. It was just a few more minutes. But when he came to Simon Peter, this disciple asked, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? So Peter asked him, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, you don't really know what I am doing, but later you will understand. And in verse 8, you will never wash my feet, Peter replied. You're not going to wash my feet. It's like some of us, you know. We think we know better than Jesus. You ain't washing my feet because you think you're doing a good deed. If Jesus said it in his word, if he knows better than you, it's best that you just let him do what he wants. A lamb, a man, a sheep, my sheep hear my voice, the Bible says. A lamb submits. A goat kicks and butts. Right? So whatever God wants to do with us, amen, just let him. Lord, just do with me whatever you want to do. And Peter eventually caught on to it then, because watch what he says in verse 9. Peter said, Lord, don't wash just my feet. Wash my hands and my head. Now Jesus before that, he says, and if I don't wash you, Jesus told him, you don't really belong to me. That's what he told him. In other words, if you don't let me do what I know is best, I mean, you don't really belong to me. So Peter said, Lord, don't wash just my feet. Wash my hands and my head too. He's like, all right, Lord, I'm all in then. Amen. That's what we should all be. Just all in. Let go and let God have his way in our lives. Jesus answered, people who have bathed and are clean all over need to wash just their feet. Right? He was talking about a physical bathing, right? They just need to wash their feet when they come in. And, you know, they bathe at home, they've walked from one place to another, and then when they get there, all they need to do is just wash their feet. That's what Jesus was talking about. But watch what he says here. And you, my disciples, are clean except for one of you. Now he's turning it to spiritual. Because remember, they were justified, sanctified under the word of Jesus, right? You are now, amen, by the washing of the water of the word. The word that they received, amen, for 3.5 years during Jesus' ministry, amen, it justified and sanctified them. Jesus said at one point, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. In verse 11, Jesus knew who would betray him. That is why he said, except for one of you. One of you right now is unclean. One of you has a devil. One of you not just has a devil, in one place he said is a devil. In Matthew chapter 10. In verse 12, after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and had put his outer garment back on, he sat down again. Then he said, do you understand what I have done? I want to ask you that. Do you understand what he has done? Or are we just floaters? We just come to church. We just do what we're supposed to do. But we don't know exactly this plan of redemption for ourselves. Do you? Because we need to. If we're to have the love of God in us, amen, we need to know what redemption is about. We need to get saved and get born again. If we're going to have the love of God in us. Do you understand? Jesus wanted them to understand what I just did to them. And that was the foot washing. So it's important for Jesus for you to understand what he has done for you. What he did on the cross. What does that mean? The significance of that. All those things that we easily can take for granted. If we're not careful. Jesus says in verse 13. I hope you're still with me.
Amen.
Amen. You call me your teacher and Lord, and you should, because that is who I am. And if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other. And that's where we get the commandment for us to actually doing it. That's where we do it, physically. You see? It's not that It's an act of humility, but it also brings us back to what Jesus did. Amen. It doesn't wash us of our sins or anything like that, but it's you, amen, saying, I believe what Jesus, I understand what Jesus did. Amen. And now this a symbol is symbolizing, amen, what I need to be doing every day. Not just the day we come and wash our feet. You see? I should be willing, again, when we were reading, I believe it was in Galatians, to be able to carry one another's burden. Amen. If your burden, Brother Boyd, is your feet are dirty, amen, let me see what I can do about that. I don't know if I'll, you know, go ahead and pedicure and everything if you need it. Or your wife can take care of that. But you look at each other and you see, you know, as in the Bible, it says, you know, what kind of person would you be if you see a brother in need and you just could just pat him on the back and you say, you just go on, brother, go on, sister. Lord bless you. You see that they're in need. And you just, I'll pray for you, but you forget to. Is that carrying your brother's burden? Is that carrying your sister's burden? Ooh, my. You see, it goes further than just, you know. You just think about those things. Okay, verse 14. If your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other. I have set the example, and you should do for each other exactly what I have done for you. God help us. God help us to serve one another in this way. I tell you for certain that servants are not greater than their master, and messengers are not greater than the one who sent them. Amen. You see, in the world, there's positions. There's ranks. There's the masters, and there's the ones that serve those masters. Amen. But Jesus is trying to tell them here, he pretty much just kind of threw a little curveball at them. Amen. In other words, to telling them, think about what I just now did. I am your master. I am your creator. You call me Lord, and so I am. And yet, I got down to do this for you. He wanted them to think. Because later, he said that you won't understand it now, but you'll understand later. Amen. Verse 17, you know these things, and God will bless you if you do them. In the King James Version, it says, happy are you if you do these things. Amen. In verse 18, it says, I am not talking about all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but what the scriptures say must come true. And they say, the man who ate with me has turned against me. That's what the scriptures say. So he's talking about Judas there. Now we're almost done. We just got just a few more things. Now he's talking about Judas. Now let's look at Judas for just a moment. Judas was with him for 3.5 years and saw the miracles. He cast out devils, maybe healed the sick and all those things. He had power to do those things as Jesus gave them. But notice he did not eat Jesus. He ate with Jesus, but did not eat him. He didn't think of him as the bread of life that he was. Amen. Because that's what Jesus said, the man who ate with me has turned against me. There's so many people that have eaten with Jesus, have been in the message, have lived, been in this word, have rejoiced in it, have enjoyed the good word, and then turn against him later on. And by them turning against you, they're turning against God. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. It is impossible. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened have tasted of the heavenly gift, tasted, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them back to repentance. seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And we see that a lot going on. Now the last two verses here in John chapter 13. I am telling you this before it all happens, Jesus says. Then when it does happen, you will believe who I am. I tell you for certain that anyone who welcomes my messengers also welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Amen. And we'll just leave it right there and we will continue. Because I got plenty of more content. This all ties in very well with other things. Maybe next time we minister. But it's important, saints, amen, to abide by the law of Christ. Because, listen, God, Jesus said, this commandment I give you, this new commandment I give you. Now, he's not doing away with his commandments. But this is the commandment I give you. You get love. Love. And you'll be able to fulfill all the other ones. Amen. He was not doing away with the commandments. He was bringing in, amen, the only thing that you have to worry about is loving one another. Loving him, loving one another. That's what he said. But it's one of the most toughest things to do. Especially amongst the family. Sometimes even within the family is hard. But if you can't even love your own family members, how are you going to love the brother that goes to church? You're always fighting and bickering amongst one another within the family. How are you not going to do that in the church? Amen. Things to think about. I like throwing little curveballs like that and make y'all think. I hope it helps. Because, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine that we neglect. I mean, we can explain Daniel 70 weeks and everything. That's wonderful. We need all of that. But then these little things we neglect. And they all tie in together. It's not like they're separated from each other. They all tie in. I'm just maybe sent here to kind of throw the little curveballs to you. But God help us. Amen. God help us. So let's stand to our feet. Why don't we sing the song, Created Me a Clean Heart? I don't know. Amen. Let's just sing this before we leave. You love the Lord? Amen. I hope you learned something. Amen. Something to think about. Amen. My intention is not to hurt anybody's feelings. That's not what I want. Certainly, if the word hurts, I mean, that's the word then. But that wasn't my intention. I want us to look at ourselves. That's just so impressed me this week. You know, the love that we have for one another is waning cold. That we just so quickly just insult one another. And instead of feeling for one another, you know, we just quickly just say things and, you know, and. In such, you know, where's the love? The brother or the sister needs help. Amen. Where's that love at? You see? Amen.
Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Sing it one more time unto him.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All minds and hearts clear, Brother Wade. Is there anything that we need to mention? All right. Amen. So just remember one another in prayer. Keep holding each one of those that are sick, and each other in prayer. Amen. You pray for me. Amen. I need prayer. Amen. We all need prayer. Not just for sickness, amen, but for our spiritual lives, amen. God Almighty, we just need to get closer to God, amen. And I just see that more and more, amen. Praise the Lord as the time. And God is allowing these times for this, so that we can look within ourselves and see, does it really matter about these things in life, amen? Does it really matter who I believe should be the president and all this kind of stuff, amen? Why does that matter? That won't take me to heaven. Amen. Me figuring and fighting about who can be in the White House and with this, that, or the other, or world views and all this kind of stuff. Amen. That won't change my body. None of it will. The only thing that will change your body is the Word.
Amen.
Feeding on the Word. Amen. And looking within yourself. Lord, where am I failing you? Am I really loving the brethren the way I need to love the brethren? Because that's how you advance the kingdom. You're not going to advance the kingdom, you know, bringing out your political ideas. You know, and people have fallen into that again, a divide and conquer mechanism by Satan. Let's not allow Satan to do that. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you help us to look at these things more closely. And Lord, realizing, Lord God Almighty, that these things are in the word for us, Lord. Father God, they're not just there, Lord, just to fill space, Lord God, but let us, Father, take this word, Father, and let us apply and live it, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you reveal it to us further, Lord God. Lord, that we may draw closer to one another in love and unity that you described there in John chapter 17, Lord, when you prayed for us, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you bless your people now. Go with them, Father, protect them on the roads. Continue to be with Brother Dale. Just strengthen him, Lord. Sister Peggy, Lord God. Brother Wade, Lord. Just continue to strengthen them, Lord. And Lord, all the ones that are sick amongst us, Father God, just bless them. Be with them, Father. Lord, we expect to hear good reports here in the next few days, Father. We love you. We commit ourselves into your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.
The nations are breaking and Israel's awakened. The signs of the Bible.